As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello there.
With my lightsaber, not as clumsy or as random as a blaster.
How much was that?
400 credits.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground! Don't try it.
You're scaring him.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
It's treason, then.
I slaughter them all. Like animals. Because I hate them.
Enough.
You underestimate my power. You will not take over me.
Well, now you're having fun with it.
Morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, November 9th, 2023. I am J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. To my left, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And making the magic happen, getting some reps in before J.D. takes a quick vacation, it's our guy, Eshwa Kid.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh? Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. We got a whole lot of games to talk about. In fact, we're going to touch on each one because no game left behind. That's right. We're going to touch on them all. Very intensely. All right. TK, this is what we're doing.
Is this whole show Star Wars themed?
It might be.
We had a Star Wars cold open. I felt like we were going into hyperdrive there in this one game left behind. Not a coincidence, considering who's behind the board
right
now.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, you aren't producing these elements. I am not. They are over there. The nerds have taken over the basketball show.
This was all JD today. It's not me, all right?
Sure.
So, no game left behind. We are going to give our takeaways and touch on every game from last night. 14 in total. Let's go. Who do you have?
First game, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey lead the 76ers to their sixth straight win, 106-103 over the Celtics. I thought this was a bit of a prove-it game for the Sixers, considering the way their season ended last year, blowing a 3-2 lead against the Celtics, kind of sent the team into disarray over the summer. And I would say Philadelphia proved it a little bit last night.
Right.
The defense was pretty good. They held Boston to a season-low 103 points, though they did score 101 in regulation. Their previous game against the Timberwolves, whatever. Nonetheless, Boston finished under 40% from the field for the game. Great job by Philadelphia there, I thought. Embiid was solid, 27 points, 10 boards. Maxey, 25 points, 9 assists. But the Sixers did almost blow this thing at the end, Skeets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got close.
They led 104-90, Philadelphia did, with 2:23 left, and then the buttholes got tight. 3 turnovers the final 2 minutes. Meanwhile, the Celtics finally started hitting some shots, cut the lead to 3 on a Jaylen Brown step back. Next possession down, pretty solid defense from the Celtics. Get the ball out of Embiid's hands. Maxey tries to create a little mid-range jumper, blocked by Jaylen Brown on the other side of the court. Nice cross-court pass to get Porzingis a look, wide open for 3. He said he just jumped too high. Shot it like a mid-range shot on the game tire. He clanked it. Turns out to be 6 straight wins for Philadelphia, and now they are in first place. Pretty impressive.
Are the Philadelphia 76ers the best team in the Eastern Conference?
The results say yes.
They do say yes.
I mean, trust the process, but check the results.
I mean, they're good. They're awesome, and the way Maxey is playing, like, he's a lock to be the All-Star team, and he's going to be in consideration probably for an All-NBA selection if he keeps this up in the guard position. Actually, hold on. There are no positions anymore, are there?
There are none.
Oh, throw him out the window. Yeah, huge win. I think the most shocking part from this game is that it wasn't on national television.
Yeah.
It's a league pass game.
It's a league passer.
Now, the Wemby Mania got to ESPN, and the Knicks took care of business. We'll get to that. But yeah, it was just sort of weird that we have the two best teams here, record-wise, in the East, just on a league pass.
Hey, we watch it. You got to subscribe every now and then.
That's exactly right. You got to go get your LP. Yeah, good win there from Philadelphia. But it got tight. It got real close. They had a chance.
Yes, and... You know, I think that the reaction would be much different if Kristaps Porzingis makes that shot, because I'm going to be saying, oh, same old Sixers. Who did they even beat these first couple of games here? You know, not playing against the greatest schedule. And then if they had actually blown it, we'd say same old Sixers, even though they look like a different old Sixers right now. So fun game. I gave it 3.5 stars.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Moving on here. An exhausted Jokic scores 35 points as the Nuggets hold off the Warriors 108-105. This was a wild ending. Tie game with 5 minutes to go. Now, the big story heading into this game, Jamal Murray is out for the rest of November with a right hamstring injury. So that's like, we're looking at 3 to 4 weeks, and then you hope he's back. Here's a guy probably taken out of consideration, unfortunately, now to make his first All-Star game with that much time missed. But yeah, Reggie Jackson filling in for him, Trey. I thought he did a really good job taking over for the injured Jamal Murray, at least in this one. He had 20 points, had some clutch baskets. I mean, he's wised up. Move when you don't have the ball. When Jokic has it and all attention is on him on the block, cut. He's going to find you. There was a couple nice shots there from Reggie. But it's going to be fascinating to watch because, like, we know Nuggets games, clutch situations, clutch minutes, they go to the Jokic-Murray pick and roll every single time because no one's figured out a way to actually consistently stop it. So now that Jamal Murray's out of there, you know, they're going to have to get a little more creative. And I thought for their last night, at least, it was like, just get the ball to Jokic and like put him more on the block. You saw the fatigue. I do think start to set in. He like missed two big free throws. You know, he's usually not going to do that in a clutch situation. He talked about being tired, talked about having a day off and going swimming with his kid. but yeah, just something to watch here moving forward. But in the end, they still got the victory and still have one of the best records in the league.
Yeah, we've talked about the Nuggets a lot this season, and I've often said, oh, that was actually an easy game for Jokic, and somebody always slides in the comments, oh, they were down 20 in the first half, did you watch the game? Yeah, I watched it. This was not an easy game for Nikola Jokic. He was doing everything out there, grabbing the ball off the glass, and then having to basically bring it up every single time down. There was some great defense by Jokic, I thought. He was really giving it his all on that end. At one point, he contests a Steph Curry three-pointer, leaks out, beats Wiggins down court, ends up getting some free throws. They had him guarding Chris Paul down the stretch. Aaron Gordon was guarding Looney so that they could switch a little bit more, which left Jokic to have to stick Chris Paul. He did it, cuts him off baseline. Then he gets the rebound on the other side of the court off an Andrew Wiggins miss. But you're right, it took it out of him a little bit there because he missed those two free throws with 15 seconds left. Also had one of the worst turnovers you'll ever see from Jokic when they double-teamed him. I think it was Wiggins and maybe Clay came over to double-team him. So Jokic just chucks it over to the corner.
And Curry
easy
read
pick
it perfectly.
For Curry. It's like he's throwing it to Curry.
Yeah.
But they ended up holding him off down the stretch. So a pretty MVP type performance. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's at the top of the list according to stats right now, according to Basketball References Tracker. But if he keeps doing what he's doing without Jamal Murray for a month, it's going to lock him in, basically.
Yeah, 35 points, 13 boards for the Joker in 36 minutes of action. He played the entire third quarter there with a lot of the Nuggets bench who were struggling in this one. They didn't give them a lot last night. Now, maybe a part of that is, Reggie Jackson, obviously, you know, now into the starting lineup, taking over for Jamal Murray. But Michael Malone, after the game, in terms of, like, trying to find guys to help and have these young guys off the bench, he said, I'm not the Salvation Army. I'm not just going to give minutes. You got to continue to earn your minutes. End quote. So, yeah, he's trying to tell those guys, you're not just going to get them. Okay, I'm not the Salvation Army. You got
to
earn them.
You do have to pay at the Salvation Army. It's cheaper than if you were buying it from a standard retail store. But interesting quote. And also interesting that Mike Malone was running out a lot of five-man bench units, and they just don't really have any creators on that bench unit right now with Reggie Jackson. So maybe they stagger Reggie going forward here if Jamal's going to be out, or maybe they are really confident in Colin Gillespie. I see this guy playing all the time right now. He's not doing a ton, but at least – you know, this is experimentation time for the Nuggets.
The Nuggets in this game really left the door open, thanks to mainly missed free throws. Yeah, the two Jokic, there was a, I forget who else, sort of split a pair. Curry had a great look for him, like in the lane, sort of. I think it was a left-hand layup or floater, that, you know, the classic Curry-type shot, and he couldn't get it to drop. And then even right at the end, Klay fumbled the ball, but they were screaming up there with a chance that Klay was going to get, like, a deep pull-up three to, you know, possibly tie the game, but yeah, it slipped out of his hands, and they didn't even get the shot off. But it was closer than the Nuggets probably wanted.
Yeah, if Klay makes that shot, if he grabs it and is able to put it in, it's one of the best shots we'll see the entire season, yeah. So not too surprising that he would botch it.
Yeah, he was frustrated. You see, he went right up to the stanchion.
Yeah, oh, that would have been an amazing play if he actually made it.
Yes, for sure, for sure. All right, so we've got the Sixers, we've got the Nuggets, two of the best teams in the league getting victories last night. Where's your next game?
Next game, the Bucks and the Pistons. The Bucks, what a weird game. Game of runs here. The Bucks got up really big in the first half. They took that lead into the third quarter, which is when Giannis Antetokounmpo got ejected for two smalling Isaiah Beef Stew Stewart.
Yeah.
Flexed on him, then hit him with the two small. They teed him up. It was his second technical of the game. Quick technical, but I feel like he definitely got his money's worth to the reaction to the quick technical.
Did he ever?
He was just chasing referees up and down the court. He sat courtside at one point in this game. Watch the NBA top 10 plays of the night, Skeets. That dunk was number 4.
I know.
Come on. Yeah, it's at least we got to edit it out of the top 10 or not tee him up for a weak reaction. Nonetheless, it was weird. The ejection happens for Giannis, and then Detroit really seized the opportunity because Marcus Sasser caught fire. Ooh. 22 points in the second half, went 9 for 13 in the third and fourth quarters, finished with 26 total. And he gave Detroit a 10-point lead midway through the fourth quarter, and that's when Damian Lillard went off. 18 points in the fourth. Brooke Lopez made a huge three and had a huge block in the final minute of this game to secure the dub. Milwaukee is squeaking by. Not great teams right now, but if you're finding ways to win, it counts at the end of the season.
Well, the Pistons are a good bad team, though, this year. They have proven that. They're in a lot of these games, have a lot of young talent, but they hurt themselves. I think their youth comes through at the end of some of these games when it comes to their decision-making. But, yeah, the Giannis technical and ejection because of it, I mean, that was pretty damn quick. He did not he stepped to him. I think he didn't help himself by literally, you know, clenching his fists. Not that he was throwing anything, but he had him clenched there. And, yeah, sort of right in the face of Beef Stew. But, man, was it quick. It was really quick for a huge dunk. Like, you want these guys to, like, let them show the emotion on a massive transition dunk for a second.
Yeah.
It was like a second. And it was like, whoop, nope. And it wasn't even the official right by him on the baseline. It was the other one. Like, up by the coaches there was like, nope, we can't have that. Wow. He already has one. This is a superstar. It obviously did change the game. I mean, you're making yourself the story with that one. I don't think Giannis was going to get thrown, you know, like, going to chest bump him. And I don't think Beef Stew didn't even react.
No.
He did nothing. That's pretty bad.
I think it's because he did two celebrations. The flex and then the two small. You get one or the other, unfortunately.
Yeah, I almost didn't even see the two small, but you're right. He does sort of slide it in there. He had to decide. Yeah. Which one are you doing? Are you flexing or are you two smalling me? You cannot do both.
Yeah.
But man, this would be a much, much, much bigger story if the Bucks go on to lose it. But you're right. Some big plays, mainly from Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
I thought was awesome.
Lopez was good, and obviously Lillard was good. 3.5 stars. But Sasser, when he was on fire, that was maybe the best thing I saw all last night.
Yeah.
He was cooking, man. It was awesome. And he just get into his shots pretty easily and could not miss for a while.
He has been sneaky good all season. I don't know if people are watching a lot of Pistons games, but he can score in a hurry. He's slippery. He's one of the leading scorers when you're looking at rookies, at least. He was on fire. That was fun. That was a fun game, especially after Giannis gets tossed. Yeah, I love how he did sit down courtside. Did he? I think he crossed his legs, right?
Yeah.
But then he could almost tell, like, oh, I better get up.
Yeah.
Now I'm maybe going a little too far here. He didn't sit long is my point.
He didn't sit long.
He sat for a second. We got the photo. We got it on video. And then he jumped right back up. And you know, his brother had to come in there. I mean, he was hot. Like, you don't see Giannis that angry a lot of times. And they were like, no, you got to get out of here before you're going to, like, cost yourself some money here.
I think he'll probably get fined.
All right, next game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scores 43 as the Thunder topped the Cavaliers 128-120. So this game featured last night's best individual performance. SGA made 15 of 22 field goals. He was 12 of 13 at the free throw line. He probably could have gone to the free throw line another 7 or 8 times. It was tough for him to actually get a whistle. I know that's a lot of free throws, but man, he was looking around like, I am getting hit a lot here. I'm not going to the line. He fell 1 point short of his career high. SGA's career high, 44. He added 7 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. But if you watch this one or even check out the highlights, this was one of those games where he is just continually getting to his spot, which is right at the corner of the free throw line, and just rising up for jumpers. And it was very easy for him to get to 43. He also iced the game with a big 3. He didn't take a lot of them. I think it was only his second attempt, but he hit one at the top there, put OKC up 117-108 with about 4 minutes to go, sort of ended any sort of comeback from the Cavs. But this was his best game here of the season. We saw a lot of these last year. And we're probably going to get a couple more here coming up. This guy, when he gets locked in, he just goes on these like couple week stretches where he seems unstoppable. But great game from him.
Yeah, and the way he plays is conducive to taking a lot of free throws. He beats the grifting allegations, but he's kind of a grifter. That's why he was complaining for a lot of these calls, I thought, but he also got a lot of calls. Another solid game for Cason Wallace, 14 points off the bench. He's been a nice find for them. It was kind of interesting coming into the season that they used a couple of picks to be able to move up and draft him, considering Shea is one of their leaders. He's a major ball handler. Obviously, Jalen Williams handles the ball quite a bit. And then Josh Giddey is a playmaker for the Thunder as well, but they found a way to get him on the court because he brings the defense, yeah, and he brings a little bit more athleticism to the guard position for OKC as well. Meanwhile, the Cavs just could not shoot threes. 9 for 29. That's hardly any attempts to begin with, yeah, and then only 9 makes. Ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, who entered last night's action tied with Joel Embiid for the leading scorer in the league at 32.5 points per game, he was held to just 20. 8 of 23 shooting. Rough night. Good defense from OKC. OKC as a team, just final thought here, their shooting splits in this game, 51.2% from the floor, 41.9% from deep, and 93.3% from the free throw line. So as a team, when you're going 50-40-90, you like your chances to win. And no wonder they put up 128 points. So they're rolling right now, OKC, after a bit of a slow start, right, to start this season, I would say. All right, next game, Trey.
The Kings beating the Blazers is our next game. The Kings had lost 3 straight without De'Aaron Fox heading into last night. They really needed a win. They trailed pretty late in the fourth quarter against the Blazers here before Malik Monk just started getting downhill every single time. He scored the final 9 for Sacramento to force overtime. Hit a couple of free throws late to put the Kings up in overtime as well. Jeremy Grant missed 2 quick 3-pointers, I thought. Yeah. I think the Blazers had the ball with maybe 12 seconds left in OT. They ran a play, get Grant a shot from the corner, and he took it right away. It wasn't really open. Then they get the offensive rebound on that. Somehow finds its way back to Grant from the top of the key. 4 seconds left. Maybe could have made a move to get a better shot, but he took him either way. They didn't go in. Ton of free throws from Malik Monk as well last night. They just needed somebody to play downhill. This was an ugly game, though.
Nobody wanted to win this game.
Yeah, this was disgusting. 18 turnovers for the Trailblazers, 21 turnovers for the Kings. But the Kings were making a lot of hustle plays in overtime that I thought you could tell they were on a losing streak where they would have a ridiculous turnover, but then they would actually hustle back. Davion Mitchell made a big play. Malik Monk made a big play that just saved the game by the skin of its teeth for Sacramento. So they get a win. The coolest thing, I guess, here is that Keegan Murray and Chris Murray played against each other. Man. Twin versus twin.
Yeah, they exchanged jerseys at the end of the game,
yeah,
which is really funny when you think about it, being twin brothers. I'm sure they could get their hands on those anytime they wanted.
You don't know when they're going to see each other again. Christmas, maybe?
Did respect the photo they took, though. I thought it was smart. Instead of both turning the jersey around to show Murray their same last names, one of them held it, you know, King's jersey facing forward. The other one with it flipped around, so we get a little Murray there in the photo.
Okay.
That was smart. I don't know if they planned that, but that'll be nice for the family to put up on the wall. It's just a great photo. And yeah, I mean, not a lot of times in NBA history we've had twins playing against each other. I mean, I know it's happened. It's not the first, but what? After the Thompson twins play, we'll be at, well, what do you think, total? 7 pairs
twins
of twins
who have played against each other?
I mean, with the Grants. Are they not twins?
Horace and Harvey?
Are they twins?
They are.
They are twins.
But the Lopezes.
Yeah. The Van Arsdales.
Of course, Dick and Tom.
Yeah.
The Morrises.
Okay.
The Lopez's.
Yeah, okay.
They're twins. It happens, but it hasn't happened recently.
No. And
but it'll happen twice this year. That's weird.
I like where we slotted this game in here.
Yeah.
You know, after 13 games, like, it was one of the last games. Yeah. It goes to overtime. It was close, like you said, but it's like, that's too much basketball.
Yeah, that's a lot of basketball.
We've had one of the weirdest schedules to start this season. I'm sure the in-season tournament has a part to play in all this, but like, we just are getting, you know, we had the election the other night, or like they wanted people to vote, so they take the night off, no games, but like, it's just weird. We're getting like two games one night, and we get out 13 to 14 games the next night, and teams are playing each other already three times within the first 2 weeks. It's just a strange schedule.
Yeah, I guess we started the season like a week later this year.
I guess we did.
It feels like it's having an effect already. Man, these things are chunky every single night, Skeets.
It's weird right now.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Kyle Kuzma and some strong bench play helped the Wizards snap a 4-game losing streak, 132-116 victory over the Hornets. Yeah, the Hornets are bad. They are not a good basketball team. People were trying to talk themselves into them. I know some people thought, ooh, maybe they'll be a feisty playing team. It does not look like this. These look like two of the worst teams in the league. But Kuzma, 33. The Wizards made 18 threes. And the Washington Reserves outscored Charlotte's 72-23. Every time I checked in on this game, and I'll admit, it wasn't a lot because there was other great basketball going on, Gallinari was scoring. Every time I clicked over, Gallinari was scoring. He shot 7 of 11. He hit 4 threes. He finished with 18 points. And again, Washington's bench really came through in this one. But both teams are now 2-5. Don't worry. They play again on Friday night, in-season tournament game in Washington. And then they play again later in November. So if you are a Wizards Hornets fan, you're getting a lot of it early. See, it's a weird schedule, I'm telling you. So they're going to play three times here within the month. But any notes on this one?
I dare you to name a player who came off the bench for the Hornets.
Off the bench for the Hornets?
Yep.
Teo Maladona.
Oh, big time. Big time. Leading scorer, 9 points.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, they only scored, what did I say, 23 total.
Yeah.
JT Thor, did he start?
JT Thor, he came off the bench.
Come
played
on,
21
man. We're
minutes.
Sickos, baby.
21 minutes, 0 points. The hammer.
Who else?
Let's go. You're pretty good right now. But you can think of another one. We saw him have one of his career best games in person.
Oh, Nick Richards, baby.
Big Nick.
Call him Dickie.
What?
I don't know.
Nick the Dick Richards? Call him Dickie.
Anyone else? Can I get anyone else?
Ish Smith. But I don't think you're getting Bryce McGowan.
Oh, Nick, man, I could have got Bryce.
You couldn't have got Bryce McGowan.
Yeah, he's got a funny look
to me. Ridiculous. You're not getting Nick Smith Jr. or Leaky Black, though.
No. What?
Leaky Black played four minutes.
No, Leaky Black, that's happening in JD's bathroom right now. That's a leaky pipe. I went to the restroom the other day here in the Classic Factory. I went to wash my hands. Good. I do.
Good.
You know, I'm sort of drying them, and I'm about to leave. And literally the vanity or whatever, where the sink is, it just starts, water just starts pouring out of it. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
We got a leaky black in here.
And I pop my head underneath, and pipe undone. Just water. When I turned the water on, it was literally just pouring out. Did you do it?
I don't think so.
You took a shit the other day. What'd you do in there?
Hey, man. Jeez, blowing up my spot. So what if I ate a lot of chili onion nuts right before I went to bed the night before? Don't do it, man. Like, I finished a whole bag of nuts. Whole bag of peanuts. And left over at the bottom was, like, all the seasoning that they put.
No, you didn't.
Seasoning to the mouth.
Oh, it's just pure salt, man. Oh,
I was paying for it yesterday.
Wow.
I was definitely
paying
for it.
Anyway, it's all fixed. I know what you're wondering. Did JD fix it? No, his wife did it. JD was like, oh, I don't know what to do. All right, we got one more
game. Hey, LaMelo. LaMelo, back-to-back 30-point games. Wait,
who cares? The team stinks.
I care, man.
They suck. They're so bad. They're not fun to watch.
Who do you think's worse, Wizards or Hornets?
I think the Hornets are worse.
Who do you think's going to have a better record at the end of the year?
Yeah, that's going to be tight. I'm going to go Wizards.
All right, I'll go Hornets.
Oh, nice, man. Nice, wow. Wow.
Loser has to fix the bathroom.
Loser has to take a bag of seasoning to the face. That's cool, man.
Okay, there's
that's
something to
cool
watch.
Wizard. You said they play how many times in the
well,
next
they play
couple
Friday
of weeks?
Night, and then they play at the end of November.
I'll skip all of those games.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. One more game before we take a break.
Yes.
What do you got here?
Well, we've known that the league has hated beef since they canceled the butcher shop, Skeets.
That's true.
They proved it again last night. Before the Miami Heat game, when they rescinded Bam Adebayo's 20th rebound, they took away a big beef. They took away the only 20-rebound triple-double in Miami Heat history. So Bam went out and hung 30-11 on the Grizzlies in retaliation.
Yeah.
Scored 16 in the fourth. Jaime Jaquez Jr. hit the biggest shot of his career, a pump fake three, basically from the corner to ice things with 18 seconds left. He played pretty well, 11 points, 3 rebounds, a couple of assists, and a couple of steals as well. I guess the biggest news that came out of this is Tyler Hero rolled his ankle in the first quarter. I think he landed on Jaren Jackson Jr.'s foot after shooting a floater. He said after the game, it's going to be a couple of weeks at least. He's not a doctor, but it is his ankle. And he said he heard crunching and cracking. Not great. Not great for a Heat team that needs all kinds of score, any kind of scoring they can get. And Hero's actually been balling out to start the season here. Kyle Lowry kind of stepped up in his absence, had one of the best games of his season so far. Grizzlies right now, though, 1-7.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's they're getting behind the eight ball here. It's still the first couple of weeks of the season, but they're at the bottom of the Western Conference. It's still another 17 games before Ja Morant is going to be back.
Yeah, Statitudes had an article the other day in their newsletter about teams that won 50 games one season and then the following season lost 50 games. Hasn't happened a whole lot of times. Usually involved LeBron James leaving your team. It did happen for the Cavs twice.
98-99 Bulls, I would imagine.
There was the Steph Curry injury to the Warriors
great
that one year.
Yeah.
So there's a couple, but could the Grizzlies be one of these teams? I mean, it's a bad, bad start. You know Ja's going to come back. 50 wins, 50 losses is a lot.
50 losses.
I mean, you're talking ridiculous. Hornets and Wizards when you're getting into that territory, but I guess it's possible. It's brutal, but yeah, nice win there from the Heat. And I like seeing Bam pissed off here, in sort of back-to-back games. Against other, defensive player of the year guys, especially last night in Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe sending a little bit of a message. Don't forget about me. Give me some votes. For those that don't know, The Butcher Shop was a segment we had on The Starters where Trey was a butcher, and he would try and sell us beef within the NBA. Now, you had a bloody apron. We would literally throw, or you would chuck around hunks of meat, and you would slap them and stuff like that. It was maybe a little much. We did it, a couple times?
Yeah, I think we did it. I think we did it a couple of times one season, and then we did it on opening night the next season.
Oh, that was
a lot of eyeballs on opening night, Skeets.
Yeah, that was the mistake. Silver probably saw it. He said, no, we don't need that. There's vegetarians out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I never heard the instructions given to whoever had to go get the beef, but it must have been get the most marbled beef you can find, because they would come back with the most gnarly cuts. That was sick, man, just slapping them. We had Lee holding both of them, calling them his beef twins, Beefy and Beefoo. I don't know why they canceled it.
Yeah, and then I think the crew would take the meat home.
that's right. No waste.
I think cameraman Rick was getting them on the grill.
He was
later.
Broiling hard, baby.
Oh, man, what a memory. Okay, that's 7 games. We got 7 still to go. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into the other ones. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory on a Thursday. Thanks to everybody joining us live on YouTube. Smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe, share the show. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Well, look at us. We waited almost 30 minutes until we start talking about our teams. We were holding on to our homer cards. But here we go. Well, you maybe don't want to play your homer card.
My team played the best game of the night last night.
Oh, good point. Yeah. And my team won. So let's start with the Raptors. Yeah. Siakam and the Raps beating the Mavs 127-116. They finished the little 2-game sweep there in Texas. Remember, 3 nights ago, Toronto came back from 22 points down to beat San Antonio, getting me in trouble at dinner while I'm trying to watch it. My wife's hitting me. Put it away. But the Raps get another one here. Siakam and OG Anunoby, they like combined to go on like an 11-0 run that really broke open this game. It was tied at 73. And then the Mavericks could just never really get any closer than 9, I believe, from there on out. But man, the story from this one is Spicy P having his best game of the season by far. Season highs in points and rebounds. He had 31 and 12. And, you know, he had been sluggish. We'd been talking about, hey, are we going to start doing Siakam, you know, trade packages, trade rumors? Are they going to move off this guy? Well, at least for one night, he sort of put that to rest. 15 to 25 from the field. He added 5 assists. Now, he couldn't hit a 3 still to save his life, but he recognized that, hey, the Mavericks have no big guys. Derek Lively II, you know, their rookie center, who's been great for them. He didn't play in this one. He had an illness. Maybe he's got this cold that I got. But I think the Raptors, it took him a second to figure out, like, there's nobody in there that can stop us inside. Siakam did work in there. Dallas got out-rebounded 50-38. They allowed 72 points in the paint. So he's pretty important. Derek Lively II turning into a Mitchell Robinson. like he is to the Knicks. That's what Lively II is to the Mavericks, at least in terms of, like, shoring up the inside. But good team effort here from Toronto. Not just Pascal Siakam popping off. OG, 26 points. Good job on Luka, as well as you can play him. Made it a little difficult. You see Luka's stash, by the way? This thing is glorious right now.
I saw it opening night. I was like, this guy's got a mustache coming in here. He had a little bit of stubble as well, but yeah, it's a full stash.
It's
Movember.
It's getting real nice.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes flirted with a triple-double, and then the Raptors bench finally giving them something. They were actually positive. Gary Trent Jr. had 16 points in 26 minutes, and Chris Boucher, that guy is the Energizer Bunny. He was all over the place, 10 points in 15 minutes. So they got some help there, but good Raptors win here.
I literally had a Jimmy Butler or perhaps Rajon Rondo moment looking at the box score here. We're like, what? 72 points in the paint.
Yeah.
That's a big number. That's a huge number, Skeets. A couple of things I saw kicking around last night on Twitter while this was happening. Did Darko win challenges on back-to-back plays last night?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Nice.
Well done, cool. Darko. Yeah.
Back-to-back jacks on that one. And then this, I must be mistaken about this. There's no way this is actually happening. Otto Porter Jr. is playing regular minutes now?
Yes, he is. We need
what?
That. He's a vet.
No way.
Yes. I mean, you want to talk about a mustache. That guy's had a mustache forever.
Yeah, Lionel Richie himself.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, this was the Raptors' best team win. And again, they're all NBA guy in Siakam, an all-star level guy. He had a good game. They just like went inside. Good wins here. Coming back from San Antonio down 22 and then getting this one. I like how they took care of business at the end there. Like, again, sort of just like stiff-arming the Mavericks and could never let them really back into the game. Let's talk about your Bulls.
Yes.
It was an entertaining game.
Great game. Great game. Competitive game. Suns were really playing, I thought. Bulls were obviously really playing. They need a win. But the big thing was this was Bradley Beal's Suns debut. Only played 23 minutes. Went for 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. 3 for 12 from the field. He was moving well, I thought, but definitely rusty. Had 2 of his makes on basically back-to-back possessions, hitting back-to-back threes. Suns got off to a huge start. The Bulls fought back. Then the Suns stretched out the lead again. Then the Bulls fought back. Chicago nearly stole this win because Phoenix went really, really cold in the fourth quarter. They didn't make a field goal their last 4 minutes and 45 seconds of the fourth quarter, including Kevin Durant had a shot to win it at the buzzer. Well defended, though, by Alex Caruso. Caruso was incredible last night. 19 points, 4 rebounds, couple assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I don't want him to trade Caruso, but people should be offering multiple first-round picks for this guy. He is incredible, and he's good enough on offense right now that he can help you on that end. He had a hilarious finger roll where he like wanted to dish it off, but they took away the pass, so the man's just like floating.
It looked awesome.
It looked so cool. Ugly start to overtime, though. The Bulls had a lead with a minute and 20 left. And then it was Yusuf Nurkic takeover time.
Yeah.
He found Kata Bates Jop for a three-pointer, had a nice poke-out steal on Vucevic in a post-up, and then a rumbling, bumbling layup to take the lead with 7 seconds left. DeRozan had a shot at a mid-range jumper, looked online, but then it was way, way short. Klankarewski, it's Jover, 4 stars.
4 stars?
4-star game.
Do you have this one on Letterboxd?
No. See, that's what I want. I want a Letterboxd, but for NBA games.
I think that exists, doesn't it?
Does it?
Excuse me. There was some site that you could go to without knowing the results of the game, and it would like recommend which ones to watch. So there's some. It's similar.
It's similar to that,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But okay, great game. I watched the end of this
one. That was
fun. Caruso was fantastic. You're right. That's a fun matchup. Just putting Caruso on
totally,
KD.
Yeah.
And, like, can you stick with him? And Nurkic, man, holy, that guy's a roller coaster.
Oh my god.
That guy goes from being like one of the best looking players on the floor for stretches, like he was at times in this game, especially at the end, and then other times, mainly in the fourth quarter, where you're going, what are you doing, man?
Yeah,
what are you doing? Like, it's up and down with him, but more up than down last night overall. He had a monster line and was instrumental in the victory.
6 turnovers, and we've seen him miss a ton of layups. You see like the overhead cam shot of the one he finished to really win the game, and DeRozan just like looks up, like he just challenges, arms straight up. He's like, he might miss this one. That's the smart way to play it. But then it goes and he's like, oh man, I can't believe it went in. But a great shot from Nurkic, and that dastardly Grayson Allen, man. This guy is becoming a John Starks-esque villain for Chicago.
The
obviously, they had the run-in with Alex Caruso in the playoffs a couple of years back. But 26 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, a career-high 8 threes for Grayson Allen, man. If anybody else can make those shots, but it was Allen, bro. Allen and Nurkic, that's a tough way to go.
I was just going to say, I got to be honest, Trey, you've taken your fair amount of shots at Nurkic and Grayson Allen being on the Suns already this season. I'm like, oh boy, these guys are cooking your team.
Allen's sad stuff.
Woo!
Last year, Devin Booker scored like 50 points in 7 minutes or something against the Chicago Bulls. So I was like, well, at least it's not Booker. He's not going to kill us tonight.
It's Grayson Allen.
Yeah, instead it was Grayson Allen and Yusuf Nurkic.
Fun game. Go check out the ending of that one for sure. All right, next game here. Jalen Green scores 28 points as the Rockets crush the Lakers. 128-94. The Rockets scored the game's first 8 points. They led by 21 at halftime. They did not let up after the half. They took a 90-64 lead with 3.5 minutes to go in the third, and fourth quarter was garbage time. They hammered them. H-Town, great offensive night. They shot 55% overall, just under. They made 42.4% of their threes. Jalen Green was hitting a lot of those. I think he hit 5 of 6 from deep. And the Lakers, is it time to press the panic button? Anthony Davis, he lied. I thought he was going to be good to go after the injury that eventually took him out of the last game. He's like, I'll be good to go on my next one there on Wednesday night. He sat this one out with a groin injury. And once again, the Lakers got off to a brutal start. You know the stats say right now through 8 games, the Lakers are the worst first quarter team in NBA history.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew they were terrible in first quarters, but I didn't know that was that bad.
Minus 74 point differential in first quarters. That's the worst figure of any team posted through 8 games, according to SportsCenter research. That's minus 74. We played 8 games in the first quarter alone. That's wild.
That's actually crazy. How many different starting lineups have they had? Because I know they've had...
Well, this is the thing. A lot of injuries, for sure.
Definitely a lot. So we're 8 games in. They've already had 3 starting lineups. Understandable,
like who's
I
been
guess,
injured?
Like,
obviously, AD, Rui, yeah. There's Gabe.
Torian Prince was out for a little bit, yeah, and then obviously Davis missed last night. But yeah, I don't know. The best thing I saw in this game was the logo that the Houston Rockets had at half court. It looked incredible.
You liked it?
Yeah, it was like a little astronaut man, like a little astronaut playing basketball. It looked like a 80s hand-drawn logo, yeah. Like, you know, like the Bucks dancing with a basketball type beat. But yeah, that was a cool logo, but not a cool game for Los Angeles.
Yeah, Lakers currently rank dead last in both first quarter offense and first quarter defense. That is mind-blowing. And like, they're not, like I saw Sam Quinn at CBS Sports point out, like, this is not really a team equipped with overcoming enormous leads, right? Like, that's
right.
You know, that's not how they're going to do it. They lack that sort of firepower to do that consistently enough. So just getting yourself in that type of hole is always going to be a problem. But the Rockets, man, four straight.
They're top 10 on both sides of the ball right now.
They're playing like animals, right? Wasn't that the quote from the other night?
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting at it. And, you know, Dylan Brooks, a lot of talk coming into this game, obviously, between Brooks and LeBron James. It was like both trash talk and then like respect.
Respect talk.
Like from both sides. You know, I guess, you know, Dylan Brooks saying how great LeBron is, but how he was going to basically shut him down.
Can't wait to lock him up.
And then LeBron, you know, I don't sort of, you know, want to play those type of games. But hey, he got the money he deserved. Mm-hmm. He got that $80 million. Good for him. He plays hard. It was just weird. But a flat game overall because the Rockets just crushed them. Just crushed them. And Lakers, yeah, I mean, are you panicking yet if you're a Lakers fan? I mean, they started 2-10 last year, but then they made a bunch of moves. Westbrook was the scapegoat last year.
Yeah.
Who was it this year?
Darvin Ham.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you see a lot of Lakers fans saying, what are you doing, Ham? Why are we down by 10 points every first quarter? Change it up. Get Russell out of there. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is because Gabe Vincent hasn't been it yet for the Lakers either.
Well, you know how I feel about this. If you're going to fire Ham, do it on Thanksgiving.
Roast them.
Where we're distracted by other Ham.
Bake them up.
Or roast them. Yeah, right.
I guess you bake a ham.
Put a pineapple in his pockets. You're out of here, buddy. All right, next game. What do you got?
Victor Wembanyama made his debut in Madison Square Garden last night. There was two potential ideal outcomes. He could either have a dominant, transcendent performance on the biggest stage, or he could have a tough game and Knicks fans could bing-bong him all night. It was the latter. Not a great game for Vic last night. 1-for-9 through three quarters. Had more air balls than made shots. Knicks fans were loving it.
Yep.
He got it going a little bit in garbage time in the fourth quarter, but basically, Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein big-boyed the Spurs. Wemby and Zach Collins as well. They were just putting them in the basket all night. 21 points, 15 rebounds combined for the new age Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. That could be the best center rotation in the league. They play almost the exact same style, Robinson and Hartenstein. They're strong dudes. They're good rollers at the rim. They're both good offensive rebounders. I feel like Hartenstein probably has a little bit more touch, whereas Robinson maybe has a little bit more ferocity, but they both looked awesome
last night.
At one point, you got to give it to the Knicks fans. They hit Wemby with the overrated chant. You got to do it. And it's good for Wemby to get a welcome to New York kind of moment. That's definitely what it was. RJ Barrett was hooping. Another good Julius Randle game, 23, 16, and 5, 8 for 19 from the field. All good. I even like the Knicks uniforms.
I did too. I thought they were okay. The City Edition.
Like, yeah, they look like their '90s uniforms, basically.
Yeah,
but you got a little double action.
Yeah.
On the name.
And court and cool. Center court.
Yeah. I did not like the two-tone court though. On one side, it was like the royal blue, the classic Knicks blue. But on the other side, it was almost black. Maybe it was navy blue. Just looked odd to me.
Oh, I didn't really notice that. I mean, wasn't the lighting at all? No.
I don't think so.
You're saying they had different colored paint? Wow,
different colored paints.
Did not really notice that. I also don't like, and we've seen other courts do this, it sort of had like the city landscape like on the one side, sidelines. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of that. You know Dallas has done it.
Yeah.
I guess the Knicks were doing it there. I feel like there's a couple others. But overall, you're right. The color and all that, and the jerseys look good. And they got a great game. A little disappointing for ESPN, probably, with it turning into a yawner, because it was a blowout early.
Yes.
And, Wemby did not have his best game there. But Knicks got it back to .500. A couple teams, starting to get it going here, right? Like, the Raptors are back to .500. Knicks are back to .500. So a couple teams, you know, the Thunder are doing well. I think they're over .500. So, yeah, after some slow starts, they're going now. Next game here, Lonnie Walker, the fourth, scores 21 points as the Nets send the Clippers to their fourth straight road loss. So I watched a lot of this one. I was really interested in the ending of it, where Harden and the Clippers going to figure it out. No, they did not. Cam Thomas, though, he scored 14 points in the first half. This guy's like been incredible all season long. But then he had to leave the game early in the third with a sprained left ankle. So Jacques Vaughn, he turned to Lonnie Walker to give him more reps. It paid off. Like I said, 21 in this game. We've talked a lot about Kelly Oubre Jr. being sort of like a incredible signing for the Sixers and how much he's contributed, and absolutely true. Lonnie Walker's got to be on the short list for like those guys that were signed for very cheaply. I think he signed with the Nets for $2 million.
He's a minimum guy.
Yeah. He's averaging 16 points per game, 3 boards, 2 assists. You know, he doesn't fill up the box score in the other categories, but giving you scoring and 22 minutes off the bench. Over the last two games, he's given you 40 points combined and hitting threes. He's just been so, so good for them, and he was a big reason why they got the victory. L.A. couldn't shoot. Nobody, none of their superstars, none of their Hall of Famers could hit a three to save their life. I think they hit 6 total between the four of them. They were in the game, but, they really couldn't score. They shot 36 of 91 as a team. And now they're 0-2 in the James Harden system era.
0-2. I guess the system is he just stands at the elbow and tries to pick people out. I didn't expect that when he came there.
Yeah, Lou's decision last night was, I think, sort of to match him with Paul George minutes. Paul George had a brutal first game when Harden plays that they lose, and then Harden had a bad game in this one. Wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, and Nets fans were rightfully on him, calling him out. Did they have a Daryl Morey chant going at
one
point?
There was a Daryl Morey chant definitely happening.
Yeah. So not a good start for the Harden Clippers here.
Two slowest paced games that LA has played this season have been since James Harden got there. There's just a lot of standing and waiting, trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen on offense. This is going to take quite some time, I think, for them to figure out how to best maximize their players. Because, Paul George ended up taking 20 shots last night. That's a good number for him, because he will probably be the beneficiary of a lot of kickouts and that kind of stuff, but only went 7 for 20. Kawhi only took 16 shots. Westbrook took 18. They're going to have to figure out the proper way to distribute the minutes and the games here. And, getting Terrence Mann back, I think, is helpful. Get him up to speed. He should probably be starting, but it's still early days for the Clippers, but not a great start.
No. And the Nets are one of the surprising teams, I think, from, 2 weeks into the season. How they play, how entertaining they play, how it's like by committee. Obviously, Cam Thomas has been the big story, scoring like over 25 a game, but it's guys like Lonnie Walker here chipping in and helping off the bench, which is fun to watch. They're a fun team to watch, and like they're like the underdog Nets again. Like,
it feels the exact same.
From years prior. Yeah, it really is. All right, 2 more games left. You've got the Wolves with a dominant victory.
Yeah, easy win for Minnesota last night. They were wearing their throwback uniforms. Looks sweet.
Ooh.
That's a small logo at center court, especially when you compare it to the crazy ones we've seen.
Yeah.
It feels like it's only the size of the jump ball circle.
Yeah, but well, that's how they used to be, really.
Exactly, exactly. It looked awesome. No Zion for the Pelicans, no CJ McCollum, and they just did not have enough offense to keep up in this one. Minnesota made 14 threes in the first half. New Orleans attempted 12 and made 3 of them. The math doesn't add up. Mm. It's just not a way that you can win in today's NBA playing like that. And they were shorthanded, so what are you going to do? But that's kind of been the story of the Pelicans the past couple of seasons. Rudy Gobert, he beefed last night. 17 points, 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. Huge dunk by Anthony Edwards as well. Oh. He's got one of the best windmills in the game.
Oh, my God. Does he ever. I mean, he also had a huge block in this game.
Yes.
The highlights from him alone in this game. He had like 2 or 3 incredible plays. I think he's got the best windmill in the game. It's pretty. It's pretty. He really commits to it,
It looked nice.
He has good, still though, some Dominique power even to it when he gets it in the rim. That's a good one. I mean, Zion is good too when he plays. Just a shellacking here from the Wolves.
A shellacking.
They're feeling real good right now.
23 points on 12 shots for Towns. You like to see that.
That's better.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's definitely good. No temper tantrums last night.
No temper tantrums. Not a lot of stressful situations, I don't think.
No, but you do. We've seen many teams do this before. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Celtics. And then sometimes you have a letdown. That happens. You're like, oh, this team's for real. And then they play like a team like that's shorthanded like the Pelicans were. And you're like, oh, what's going on? I like that they just kick their ass. Like that you start showing me like you're an actual good team and you're for real. And you're stringing it together here. So
They lost opening night to the Raptors. Whatever. It's opening night. It happens. But they had that disgusting loss against the Hawks where they had a huge lead in the first half and then they lost huge. This was kind of similar except for first half leads. Very real in this one. So shout out to them for having the focus to actually keep it going rather than turtling it away like in the Hawks game.
Final game. We've almost made it there, guys. The Pacers, led by Aaron Nesmith, crushed Utah. 134-118. They pulled away from them. David Letterman, sitting courtside.
Okay.
Just wanted to note that.
Ball State University's David Letterman.
There you go. The Pacers are the NBA's highest scoring team. They've won three of their last four. They've topped 120 points in their four consecutive games now. They score so much. We called this one. I feel good about this one. We said coming into the season, Pacers, man, they should be on your league pass sort of list of fun teams. They are going to get up and down. Halliburton's basically Steve Nash 2.0, man. This guy's like just trying to throw no-look dimes out there and just push the tempo and find guys in rhythm, and he is. And they just ran away from them. That's what they did. Now, before the game, the Jazz announced that starting center Walker Kessler, he's going to miss at least 2 weeks because of an injured left elbow. So Will Hardy, the Jazz coach, he decided to go with a three-guard lineup, and rookie Keontae George got his first start of the season. Played okay, but they sort of went small, and it didn't matter with the way the Pacers are playing right now. They're just like, all right, sweet, it's like a pickup run, let's go. And they're all contributing, and again, six Pacers scored in double figures. Any thoughts on this one?
Not many thoughts on this one. This is some bad defensive teams playing against each other, but Indiana's really, really good offensively. Utah, though, 2-7. You know, they had a hot start last season when they had all the vets left over from the Rudy Gobert trade and the Donovan Mitchell trade. Yeah. They traded those guys away at the trade deadline. They fell off, missed the playoffs last year. The start of the season feels like the end of the last season. There's just no defense in Utah, especially if Kessler's going to be sitting.
Yeah. I was going to try and give you like a top 10 list because Letterman was sitting there about this game.
Mm.
But I'm like, who wants to hear that? How am I going to come up with 10 things from this game? Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I knew it was going to be deep in the show already, so I asked it.
I think that was a smart move.
I think so, too. Sometimes it's things you don't do on a podcast.
Do you have any, in your memory bank that you were going to?
I didn't even start.
You just had the list.
I didn't even have one. I thought, hey, that could be a fun idea. Hey, Letterman's there. He did top 10 list. Yeah. And then, And then I'm like, what other things did Letterman... What else was Letterman known for? Within his show run.
Uh-huh.
Like, what were other go-to bits?
Will It Float? Was that David Letterman?
Was that a thing? That does sound oddly familiar. Where's Kelly Dwyer when we need him, man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He can tell us every show and every guest probably on every episode.
Did he do Stupid Human Tricks?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Stupid Pet Tricks,
Stupid
of course.
Stupid Pet Tricks, yeah. I guess top 10 was the number one thing that he had every show. Okay. Anyway, good win from the Pacers. All 14 games. Look at that. We did it. Touched on every single one. Don't do it again, NBA. It's too many.
I'm sure it'll happen again next week.
Probably. All right, one more break. When we come back, tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, we were talking about the infamous butcher shop segment that NBA TV told us to get rid of. Nobody wants to see that man in the beard slapping meat. He's not even wearing a beard net. Or did we have you in a beard net?
I think I did wear a beard net.
Safety first. But look at that Photoshop. That's
pretty good. That's actually
great. I mean, I would watch that segment. Let's this guy get a Selby.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe it actually didn't have to do with the bloody apron or a man throwing around chunks of meat.
Mm.
Maybe the NBA didn't like that we were celebrating beefs within the NBA.
Could be.
You know, player X doesn't like player Y, or player, you know, this guy doesn't like this ref, or I forget what we were doing, but stuff like that, of that nature.
Combo.
Maybe it was about that.
Yeah. No, yeah. They literally said too bloody.
Too bloody.
Too bloody.
Mm.
Okay.
Well.
Too bloody the beefs, though. Like the within the NBA, you mean? All right. It was a great segment.
It was a great segment.
I'm glad we got it on television. Okay, let's go to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night. Basically our equivalent of a Letterman top 10 list, really.
Not too different.
Think about it. It's just as funny. Usually, because this one's great, from @DownToDunk. They tweeted yesterday, it's happening, now available. You can buy a shirt from Down to Dunk that says Slob Wizard on it, and this incredible graphic of a wizard that is Josh Giddey. Yeah, we have Slob Wizard t-shirts to buy from Down to Dunk. Sidelines, out of bounds, Wizard Giddey himself. What do you think of the design and them capitalizing on this?
He makes a beautiful wizard. He's got a wizard look to him, but they had to beard him up because he looks too young, like a young wizard.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A young Tom Riddle at Hogwarts University.
Right.
I guess it's not a university.
I like the colors, though.
Yeah, it looks good. I think he hates this nickname, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
That's why it's going to stay.
Yeah, if you get a nickname that you don't like, never go on record saying, I don't want that nickname, or do better, or, ooh, don't. No, don't say that, because then you're screwed. Yeah. People are like, oh.
Well, that's your name.
He doesn't like being called that.
It's like when Big Baby tried to stop being called Big Baby. We're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
We're not calling you Uno. No way.
They always come around to it, though.
Yeah, well, I am the Big Baby.
I am the Slob Wizard.
Didn't Big Baby want to be called the Ticket Stub?
The Ticket because he was after Big Ticket?
Yeah, Big Ticket, and he wanted to be called the Ticket Stub?
Yeah, don't ever do that either. Don't tell us what to call you.
Yeah, it never
works. Nickname. It's not going to work.
Ticket Stub.
Great shirt. Great shirt there from @DownToDunk. Go get yourself a Slob Wizard if you're an OKC or Giddey fan or fan of Wizards, fan of sideline out of bounds plays. I would hope they give John Hollinger one on the house.
Oh, they got to.
I mean, he coined it accidentally.
Coined it. Definitely coined it. And, you know, I know Andrew Schleck could get in touch with John Hollinger quite easily.
Yes. Andrew could get in touch with us quite easily, too. I mean, we sort of help bring it into the limelight a little bit, right?
He has our email addresses, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's call it there. We did it. We touched on every game, and we showed you a Slob Wizard t-shirt. That's what you're looking for in an NBA podcast. If you are a fan of Survivor, you should join us later today at 1 p.m. Eastern. It was a double boot last night. Yeah, in addition to 14 games, we had a double boot on Survivor. We'll be breaking down this 90-minute episode. JD, TK, Ash will be helping us. Can't wait to break it all down. Huh. No spoilers, but not happy with some of the people leaving the game last night.
Some tough losses.
Thank God the Raptors won. Let's just say that.
Well, it's actually kind of funny because the other guy who went home is from Illinois.
Oh, really?
He's an Illinois boy.
I did. Tough night for us on Survivor. We'll break it all down. No buffs, 1 p.m. We're back tomorrow. The Drop Podcast, 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you here live, all you stream teamers, podcast listeners. You'll be hearing us a little bit later in the day. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, here's a great nickname, actually, from David Letterman's show. In 1995, for about a month, he had a guy on named Dick Assman.
Oh, yeah.
He called him Assman the Gas Man because he worked at a gas station. Assman. But he never tried to change his nickname. He just took it in stride. Okay, Slob Wizard?
Brace the day, people.